I want to speak tonight briefly on the subject of the word reflection. Reflection. Reflection has several different meanings. To reflect on things means to look back on. And I don't really want to go from that angle. I want to talk more about the reflection you get from God's word. So let's read the text, and I'll give you a little bit of an introduction. So, Sage, I'll let you interpret this part. Then we'll break up into a group of men and women, because I want to hear the two perspectives, ladies and men tonight. And I'll give you a good 10, 11, 12 minutes to discuss this subject. And we'll have a spokesperson from each group, like we had before. Any of y'all remember, like we did? And we'll do that. We're going to be doing this throughout the month of January. And in February, we have two new classes coming up. One will be on love, and one will be on giving. And I wanted to get into the theme, but I can't. The theme is this Sunday. So next Wednesday night, I'll be teaching along the lines of the theme. And I'm really looking forward to getting your feedback on next Wednesday night's subject. James 1, verse 22, the Bible says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What an amazing verse. You stop and think about what God just said in that verse. If you are a hearer only and not a doer, that Satan's not involved. Most times you think of Satan being a part of deception, but this, the Bible says here, you deceive your own self if you are only a hearer and not a doer of the word. I mean, and here's the point again. God's saying if you've heard it, that means you're obligated to do it. If you've not heard it, you're not obligated. But hearing requires doing, okay? Verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now, this is one time I think they could have probably put a woman in there, because I don't know too many men that behold their face for a long time in a glass. Because every time I look in the mirror, I have the same reaction as always. It's disappointment. Amen? Thank you for those two laughs. Verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself, and then watch this, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." All right? That's when you go and you eat something with mustard on it, and you didn't look in the mirror, and all of a sudden the mustard's on your face. Or how many have a wife that's picky about food in your teeth? She always wants to let me know when there's food in my teeth so I don't look like an idiot when I meet people and stuff. All right, verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Tonight I'm challenging the church to make the most important decision you can make for 2017, and that's to decide right now you're going to read your Bible every day this year. So you really going to tell us that as an adult? I mean, that's what you should be preaching in the past, but no, that's what's needed right in this building tonight. And here's why. We did a survey several years ago in this church, and only 40% of our church said they read their Bible every day, and that was the Sunday night crowd. So 60% was admitting they did not. I'm going to tell you why in just a second, and we'll split up into... See, you got real quiet there. I know it's a tough subject, but you need to hear this. You need to be in your Bible every day. I need to be in my Bible every day. It's a simple message. And if my 8-year-old can read her Bible every day, and my 11-year-old can read his Bible every day, then at 41, I need to be reading my Bible every day. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Bless this opportunity now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and have the men on this side and ladies on this side. And... while you're going there, let me just say just a couple of things to get you guys thinking about this subject. It was brought up again in the message this morning I heard at the Concord Baptist Church. And I've had the privilege of interviewing several, let's see. My actual message is very brief tonight. It's only about 15, 17 minutes I should be done. So I've had the privilege of interviewing several men that fell. And when I mean fell, you know what I mean. They fell into sin. And in my case, most of them are preachers. And the speaker this morning at the prayer breakfast mentioned a pastor he knew, a pretty well-known pastor that fell. And you say, okay, you're talking about preachers. All right, well, let me go ahead and tell you about church members or members of a church. 90% of the time when I ask them where it all started, 90% of the time they say they stopped reading this book every day. 90% of the time. If you don't think this book has power, you are missing something. And I'm just saying this by way of testimony, because this is an important subject to us as we head into this 2017, because I think a lot of Christians are just going to coast. Ooh, we got the House, we got the Senate, we even got a conservative in the White House now, and boy, the Supreme Court's going to go our way. We don't have to be as on guard. Absolutely not. We need to be in the book now more than ever. Temptations on every hand. In the almost 19 years I've pastored this church, I don't want to say exclusively, but I do not know of one day that your pastor has not read this Bible in every day that I've pastored this church. In fact, I don't remember a day I did not read my Bible since I've been saved. Why? Because when I first got saved, my pastor told me you need to read your Bible every day. So I did what my pastor told me. There was a time in America when people actually did what the preacher talked about, right? And it's changed my life. You say you're bragging on how spiritual you are. No, my point is I'm not that spiritual. Because if I did not read the Bible every day, I would not be where I am right now. Nor would I have the same zeal and passion and fire for preaching and church and ministry like I do now. This book gets credit for everything of who I am today. And so, this is not a guilt trip message. Who cares about yesterday? Who cares if you didn't read your Bible today? Forget about all that. Starting tomorrow, I'm challenging you. It's got to be a part of your life. Because your passion is your friend, as someone who cares about you and the future of your children and the example we set and how spiritually we need to grow. We have got to be in this book. All right, so here's the question. Why is it so hard to be in the Bible every day? Why is it so hard? All right? You know, I'm going to make you the spokesperson tonight. I'm the pastor's wife, so I'll throw that on you. And who's just begging to be the spokesperson over here? Everybody's bowing their head and looking away from me. I love when they do that. Brother Samson, you just look like you're chomping at the bit. Yeah, you be the spokesperson tonight. This is your subject. You always talk about Bible reading. So Janelle over here, Brother Samson over here, and you take some questions down, comments down. You got about 8 to 12 minutes to do this, and then we'll gather back and hear some feedback about that, and then we'll go from there. So you may start now. James chapter 1, if I could let him go, just give the invitation, he's done it, man. Thank you, Brother Samson. Thank you, Janelle. Brother Samson's right, there's nothing new under the sun. But I wanted to do this on purpose so that you would hear others say, probably what you think. I think we can all relate. We can throw out all these excuses that are out there. I feel like those things just told man, really know. That's all they are, excuses. I ask for reasons, but really they are excuses. The first question you need to honestly ask yourself tonight is simply this: are you saved? If you're saved, then you have the potential to understand this book. First said that it's difficult to understand the Bible from the author.
Right.
Salvation is the first step to understand the Bible. And in that process, I love how God takes the truths and uses things that we can all relate to apply them to our lives. I think everybody in this room knows that looking in a mirror is beneficial. And I hate to give you a little testimonial. I mean, I don't know who they are, but many of our deaf folks are not seeing the problem, or some of the mothers that go back there with their baby always laughing. How many people stop by that mirror, or that window back there, and check their outfit, and check their face, and not realize that someone's in there watching the whole time? I remember Adam Davis told me he counted 7 ladies in handshaking time stop there, and check their outfit out. And Adam Davis was just dying laughing. He didn't even realize that somebody was in there with the lights off. They didn't see out here clearly, but you saw a reflection. It was an opportunity to stop and look. And let's be honest, there's times we check too. You should. Although sometimes I wonder if our teenage guys don't check the mirror before they leave the house on some of our church services. Or as Brother George said, they comb their hair with a hand grenade. But I want to look at 5 simple thoughts tonight. First of all, I want you to think about the word reflection. Reflection. When you look in the mirror tells you what is wrong and what needs to be fixed. And for people like me, it's beyond hope. There's no hope. I just got to do what I have to work with what I can and go on. But ladies, in particular, you look in the mirror, and the mirror tells you what's wrong. And so we use the reflection. We use that. We use it in the mornings and the afternoons. I'm sure many of you probably even checked it out tonight before you came to church. Now, why do we do that? Number 2, now this is going to sound like a strange word, but it's true. We do it for protection. What? Protection? Yeah. Because we're trying to protect ourselves from looking bad in other people's eyes, right? I'll never forget years ago at our church, we had a party here, and the family, they don't come to this church anymore, they moved away or whatever, but there was a cake downstairs with some blue icing, and one of the ladies in our church ate a piece of that cake and had a big gob of blue icing on her lip right there.
And she talked to me for like 5 minutes during the thing, and I didn't tell her. I probably should have, but I didn't say nothing. She got in her car, and her husband told her, "You got icing on your face." She texted me later and said, "Thanks a lot, preacher, for telling me that, not telling me that I didn't have icing on my face, you know." And we do it, really, when you think about it, one of the biggest problems you have, and nobody preaches on this very much, is vanity. We have a problem with that in America. Vanity is a huge deal. And it gets taught even to our kids. They have to have the name brands. That all goes back to the subject of vanity. And not all of that is sinful, but God is not a big fan of vanity. Meaning putting or investing more time, energy, and efforts into something that's not as important as something else that could be more important, right? I mean, vanity is a big problem, especially in the United States of America. If you don't believe me, just go to magazine racks. They're always telling you what diet pill to take and what skin lotion to use and what Botox to take and how to look good. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry to make yourself look better. Weight loss and exercise. Every year there's a new workout program. My dad got all of our families the new twisty board, so our family's dancing now. That's what I got for Christmas. Brother Nate got for Christmas. My sister got for Christmas. So all the dingers are twist dancing this year. That's what my dad got us for Christmas, all right? So he called his whole family fat and said, "You got to do something about it," right? But we do it for protection. We really do. And let's be honest, if you think about it, when I first the Lord laid that word in my heart, I thought, no, well, that's not the right word. But true, it's true. We're protecting ourselves from embarrassment. We're protecting ourselves from what other people think, which is why we want to make ourselves up and try to at least look presentable. That first gray hair comes out, we want to dye our hair. Or, you know, we got a teeth fix. And I mean, I'm not against all those things. Don't misunderstand me. But God knew that. God's using this application because it hits home with all of us in the Bible. Look, they didn't have all the mirrors back then that they have today, but even back then, they're still looking in the glass. Peter checked his hair out before he went to work, amen. So we have, number one, we have reflection. Number two, we have protection. Number three, we have this word that I think is very important, is reaction. I want to get some Bible verses here for you. We have a reaction, okay? If you look at reaction, verse 24, the Bible says this, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." When you look in the mirror and you see something you don't like, you react immediately, right? If there's something, if you have a dangler, right, you got to clean that up. If you have something in your eyes, if something's not right, if your hair's not right, there's a reaction. You see it, something's not right, you fix it. That's a reaction. Listen, that's what's so important about the Bible. And the thing about the Bible is the Bible is so powerful, we don't always have to do the react. The Bible's so powerful as we are reading it. Even Brother Samson just said in the men's group that sometimes you read it and you don't feel like you're getting a whole lot out of it. But it's so powerful that if it went into these eyes and into this mind for a little while, there will be some difference made. There's greater benefit when you read and get more out of it and you study. But it makes a difference and it causes internally a spiritual reaction because you just fed the spiritual part of man. America has a big problem, they say, with physical obesity. The big problem we have in America is spiritual anorexia. We're starving ourselves spiritually and stuffing ourselves physically. It's a problem in America. Seriously. All you got to do is look at Hollywood. They're starving themselves spiritually. They think they're funny, but they're not. Because the reaction makes a difference to getting the Word of God. All right, number four, watch this now. Why, ultimately, do I think we have a problem with the Bible? And here's why. It's the age-old word that many of us don't like to hear, but it's called procrastination. Procrastination. Always. The devil loves to use this his doctrine of procrastination to hinder the Christian from doing what he's supposed to do today. I mean, John chapter 4, Jesus is teaching the woman at the well about himself, and the disciples show up. Then the Bible goes on to say that they see the harvest and they say, well, the harvest not be ready for 4 months. And Jesus says, no. See, that's procrastination. The harvest is ready today. Now. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says the harvest is ready. It's wide, it's plenteous, but there's not enough laborers. It says, pray therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers. Why? Because it's always, God is ready to do something in your life right now. But we are famous for procrastinating. It's called Monday Christians, right? I'll start on Monday. Same thing we do with our diet. Same thing we do with our workout program. I'll start on Monday. We all know Monday's the worst day to start something, amen. I'll start on Monday. I'm going to start reading my Bible on Monday. But you just missed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You just missed it. All right, and finally, number five, I love this one, I'm done. The more you get in the Bible, the more verification and continuation you'll have. I put them together. Verification and continuation. Verification and continuation. You see, let me just be an open book right here, okay? We have a big problem in America with Christians going by the wayside. The Bible said in the last days there would be apostates. And these people claim Christ, but they're straying away from the basic doctrines of the Bible. Their salvation doctrine's messed up. Their baptism doctrine's messed up. And these are basic doctrines, church. These are doctrines that it's easy for an 8-year-old to understand. But the reason why is because one of the ladies made a great point. They're reading self-help books and a lot of these devotionals, which there's nothing wrong with those. But if they become your sole source for your faith, you're going to have problems because anything man writes will always have some bones in there. I mean, there's a lot of books I've read that I've disagreed with some of the writers, but I knew there was enough of meat in there I could get the meat out and then just spit out the bones, right? I mean, yeah, you can do that. If I wrote a book tonight, I would like to believe that I'd write it as spiritually accurately as possible because I love the Lord, but guess what? I'm sure if any of you read the book, you'd find some fault because I'm human and we fail. But this book right here will give you 100% verification every time you read it. And when you get that verification, it then gives you a desire for continuation. It's a beautiful cycle. My dad made the point in the men's group. He said, "The men, one of the reasons we don't read the Bible is our faith is weak, our faith is small. Well, the Bible says clearly, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that comes in, the more devoted you get, because it's a beautiful cycle of God once again solidifies He's God. God solidifies He's given us a book full of promises. He's given us joy. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us heaven. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us justification. He's given us all these different things. He's teaching us practical things to be a good husband, good wife, mother and father, financial areas, the church areas, all the relationships with people, all these different doctrines and subjects that we live out in life. This book is a book of life. It helps us live and function on this planet. You understand, this book was written after the fall of man. It wasn't written before the fall of man. It tells about the fall of man. The reason the book was written after the fall of man is because God wanted to give us some instructions to help us to deal with this great fall from our great-great-great-granddaddy, great-great-great-grandma, Adam and Eve. So, tonight I want to change everything, okay? I started it with saying the reflection leads to protection and then a reaction. Now watch this now. When we read the Bible, you see reflection here is the difference though. When I look in a mirror, I see Randy Diggins' face. I see my face when I look in that mirror. I see me. When I start reading this, I see his son. Now watch this. When I see his son, the more I read, the Bible says I have the potential to be conformed to his son. In other words, every time I read the Bible, God is making me up, play on words there, making me up to look a little bit more like Jesus. And it's a little bit every time. That's why you don't just get, as 17-year-olds, when I was at stage at 18, I didn't have the wisdom or the Bible knowledge at 18 that I do now. And guess what? I don't have any of the amount of the Bible knowledge that a man like Jack Baskin is coming to Missions Jubilee in March, who's 86 years old and read the Bible through hundreds of times and knows the Bible. He's probably forgot more Bible than I've ever... I mean, he's just a genius. He knows this Bible like the back of his hand. He knows the Word of God. Why? And he would tell you he's still got a lot to learn. Brother Samson said he's heard 1,000 messages on John 3:16, and every time there was a different truth, a different angle, a different perspective. Because this book, when you open it up, you're not going to see yourself in that mirror. You're going to see the Son of God. And when you see Him, you say, oh my goodness, I want to be more like that. And then it stops the procrastination. And then finally it helps you to continue. And ultimately, if we look in the mirror for protection against embarrassment, and we look in this mirror for protection against the enemy. And ultimately the enemy is the world, the devil, and our own flesh right here. So look at James 1, and I'm just about through. We'll go to Jeremiah and I'll be done. James chapter 1, again, verse 25. It says, but whoso... The reason he says but is because the previous three verses talk about the dangers of only being a hearer and not a doer, the only looking in the natural glass, and you know, verse 24, you look in the mirror and then you go on throughout your day and you forget all about how you look. You don't realize your hair's changed, the wind hit your hair, whatever stuff. But in verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What is verse 25? It's a promise verse. God gives us a promise in this verse. I like God's promise verses. How many of you like God's promise verses? I know. When God says, "I promise this will happen," then guess what? You might as well do what it takes to get that to happen. We're going to talk a bit more about this next Wednesday night. So I hope you'll be here. I think the message next Wednesday, or the class time next Wednesday night will be helpful for all of us. But look at this again. God promises that if you get beyond just the hearer and you looketh means continual looking into the Word of God. By the way, it's not interesting. He doesn't say read. He says look. God uses the word look this time because he's still staying consistent with the mirror concept. You know how long ladies stay in the mirror, in front of the mirror? As long as it takes to get it right. Some ladies stay longer, some ladies are shorter. You know how long it takes a man in the mirror? As long as it takes to get it right in his eyes, right? I don't take that long in front of me. You can ask my wife. I don't take long. I don't even have a comb. I'm good. It's fast. Brush my teeth, fix up my hair just a little bit, and I'm gone. Ladies maybe take a little longer. Some guys take a long time with their hair. You know, they got that new big wave going on and stuff. In other words, they stay in front of that mirror until they get it right. Listen, the more we look into the Word of God, God's going to continue to improve us and help us get it right. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 20 and I'm done. I told you I wouldn't be real long. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7. Look, if Paul can say these things and I can, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Please, please, never, I hope you know your pastor's heart by now. Goodness, I've been here 19 years. I didn't share the stats of me reading my Bible every day in any way to brag. I'm telling you, if your pastor's going to be in the Bible every day, then we all need, I'm just trying to be your example and say that I need this book. This book has saved me from a lot of, I've got a pretty stubborn flesh. Ask my wife. I'm very stubborn. There's times I want to take something on head on, bullheaded. That's the way I am. And the Bible says, calm down. Boy, it's amazing how God's worked things out without my intervention. Where did I learn that from?
Right here.
It's powerful. Are there times you're tempted to quit? Sure, all of us have had times to think, man, what's the use? And one of the greatest prophets in the Bible had that same issue. Watch what he says, and I'm done. Verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. And by the way, if you know anything about the Bible, Jeremiah was going through a pretty tough time here. He was preaching to some crowds that did not like him. And the Bible says in verse number... I flipped my page. There we go. Verse number 8. So he says, everyone mocketh me. Verse number 8. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence, spoil, because the word of the Lord is made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. So now Jeremiah is blaming God's word for all the trouble he's in, because he said, I'm preaching your word, God, and now it's getting me in trouble. So here's what he tells God in verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. What do you think of that, God? Nor speak any more in his word, in his name. I'm done. He said, I quit. There's that beautiful three-letter, one-syllable word, but. It's like Isaiah, Jeremiah tells God, I quit, I quit, I quit, I'm done, I quit. I quit. You hear me? I quit. I can't quit. I can't quit. I can't quit. All right, what am I preaching next? Why? Because of this. It says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what he's saying there? He said, I couldn't quit even if I wanted to, because God's word was in here. God's word was in here. And FYI, Jeremiah never read Philippians. He never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He never read Romans, Revelation. We got it pretty good. It's January 4th, 2017. It's the fourth day out of 365 days God's given us to live this year. As your pastor, I'm not going to guarantee you an incredible year. That's not my job. And I'm not one of those prosperity preachers that promise you an incredible year. But I can tell you this. I'm pretty sure I can guarantee this. If you're in your Bible every day this year, you'll still be faithful to God on January 4th, 2018. It won't be a perfect year. You'll probably think about quitting. You'll probably get frustrated. You'll get angry at me, angry at your spouse, angry at your husband, angry at your wife, angry at Trump. I'm sure he's going to make us angry sometimes. You get angry at the mailman. You get angry at your boss at work. You get angry at... You get frustrated. The flesh will come up. But you get up the next morning, you start reading the Bible. The next afternoon, the next night, whatever is the best time of the day for you to read your Bible. And January 4th, 2018 comes around, and you look back and you say, wow, for 365 days I read my Bible every day. And you know what you say? I don't regret it. I work out. I'm doing this brutal workout that helps me experience every human emotion God gave to mankind. I cry, laugh, shout, almost cuss during this workout. I'm dripping sweat. I mean, nobody in my family wants to touch me after this workout. I get saved 7 times every time I do this workout. It's brutal. It's brutal. And every time I get ready to start it, I'm mad at myself. I'm upset. But once I'm done, I don't regret it. I take that shower and get clean and go on with my day. It's like, wow, I'm glad I did that. Well, there's going to be times you're going to, I don't feel like it. Tired. I was up late last night. The baby was crying in the middle of the night. I don't feel like it. Just a little bit of time. You'll never regret it. That's a challenge. January 4th. We need to get in this book. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for listening.